Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. Dustin, it's a new week to talk Penn State football. How are you doing, my friend?
We're hanging in there, and we got a little news to share today, so I'm excited for it. We're in off-season mode now, so it's good to have some action with this program.
That's the amazing thing with Penn State football. Even year-round, there always seems to be some news, and let's start with the most recent. On Sunday, it started to come out. It looks like Penn State has brought in the replacement for Tim Banks, and it is Anthony Poindexter, who most recently had been coaching with Purdue.
Yeah, I think quick hire, number one. James Franklin keeps his list. You know that. It seems that, you know, James Franklin has mentioned before the idea of having position coaches who have coordinator experience and having coordinators who have head coaching experience. Those are all benefits. And Poindexter fits the bill there. He also kind of reminds me of the Taylor Stubblefield kind of hire where his name brings some weight to the table. He was a star at Virginia in the late 90s. He's been a really good coach and recruiter at a few different places, most recently at Purdue as co-defensive coordinator. He, I think, has some really deep ties to the state of Virginia when it comes to recruiting, and that cannot hurt to try to keep furthering that effort down there. So it seems like a pretty good hire, a pretty quick hire, not a lot of uncertainty, not a lot of anything hanging out there. The staff can come back together once again, just as they did when they hired Ty Howley to replace Tyler Bowen, and move forward together. I suspect that Poindexter, if or when this becomes official, is going to get on campus pretty quick and get to work.
It's always been said that James Franklin has his binder with the list of names, that he's ready whenever this type of thing occurs. You mentioned the one thing that did stick out to me, that he played at Virginia, coached at Virginia, and that whole area is so important to Penn State recruiting that any inroads that he has there, to me, is the headline of the story.
Yeah, and I think Penn State has shown some really improved efforts there in the first place, looking at the Yetur Gross-Matos and Devin Ford, and you know, Ricky Slade doesn't seem like that great of a haul at this point, but he was at the time. And I think adding some reinforcements to that area can help continue moving in that direction. It's a really tough place to recruit because everybody's coming through there. Everybody's coming through Virginia and into D.C. and Maryland, so it's a national recruiting ground. But I think having another guy, in addition to your staff's already pretty good efforts in Virginia, helps. And it's just when you're hiring new assistants, it's amazing what all goes into the package these days. You know, Jawan Sider, for example, really good running backs coach. But boy, you know, the pipeline to Florida, maybe it's not the feature, but it's up there when you're hiring an assistant. So when you hire a guy who's a really good recruiter, who's got connections in a certain area, that's all part of the deal now.
We had the discussion last week about what to look for in this position and filling it. And my question was, do you want a coach who could recruit or a recruiter who could coach? My feeling is you go with the recruiter. That's where he could have actually, I think all of these guys know the game pretty well, but yeah. Give me a guy who could recruit. Now, after I say recruiting's more important, what I also do like with this guy is he's fairly young. He has a history as a player at safety, and he was an All-American at that position. I would think, Dustin, if you're talking to today's players, having that kind of thing on your resume certainly can't hurt.
I think it helps to connect you with the kids, and it gives you a little bit of clout when you're in a high school kid's living room. It gives you a little bit of clout when you're meeting with these guys one on one. You know, they respect what you've done because you've been there at that level and achieved at a high level. You've made it to the NFL briefly. So I think Poindexter, just like Taylor Stubblefield. Stubblefield, you know, one of the best Big Ten wide receivers of all time, is now in the room, and he's done a really good job of developing, but he's also he has some name recognition to him. So Poindexter feels much the same. And it's not, you know, you mentioned the coaching element. It's not like you can just throw that out and that's an afterthought or whatever, but at the same time, you have a lot of guys who have never played certain positions who are coaching that position. You know, look at what Ricky Ronnie, for example, coaching tight ends for a while. You know, and Tyler Bowen was an offensive lineman. Ty Howley was an offensive lineman coaching tight ends. It's not that it can't be done, you know, for you to educate yourself and learn how to train that position. But it does help having a guy who played safety at the highest level now coaching your safeties at Penn State.
And Phil Troutwine's another example of that on the offensive line. And I believe when he was first hired, you heard that from some of the offensive linemen. Here's a guy who's been there, done it, won a national championship, I believe, at Florida. That kind of thing gets you instant respect from the players. So at least so far, looks like a good hire by James Franklin. The other most recent news, Dustin, is the Board of Trustees approved a facilities upgrade plan. What's your take on that one?
I think if you listen to James Franklin, all these upgrades have been overdue for a long time. And I know he's making his little stump speech all the time when he's out in front of the public, but I do believe that a lot of little things kind of slip, and he was just trying to bring the facility current. And now I think they're trying to take steps to take the facility into the future. And there's nothing really that jumps out other than, you know, the weight room becoming more massive as part of this. But it does seem like a lot of things that so many other programs are doing that Penn State is just trying to maintain that. I don't think they're not looking for anything crazy or, groundbreaking. I think they're really just trying to stay competitive in this facility's arms race. The vote's 27-6. We heard all from Jay Paterno why he didn't believe it was the right time to make that kind of investment. But at the same time, you know, it's not supposed to be, it's not taken away from tuition dollars. This is an independent athletic department project where they're going to raise that money. I think there's going to be a lot of alumni and donors who see what's going on and want Penn State to try to get to that next level, who are going to support this project. I understand where Jay was coming from when you're talking about all the different hardships and all the different salaries that have been cut. But to me, it just seemed like apples and oranges. This is something that you got to invest if you want to pull out of it. You know what I mean? You got to put money into football. You got to put money into these projects if you want to truly get to that elite level, which that's obviously where Penn State wants to go.
Jay Paterno, with that name, is high profile in the Penn State community. So if he says something, it's going to get recognized. People are going to see it. And as you said, he makes some valid points. And in this time when there are pay cuts going on and other kind of cuts, it seems like it's the wrong time. If you're going to be practical, you don't do this, and I very much understand that. However, you could probably say that about every major football program across the country where they invest money. Do you really need those Taj Mahals? Do you really need – I recall seeing a video on Oregon when they upgraded their facility – and part of it was they were bragging that each guy has a chair by his locker, which used the same leather that Ferrari does in their cars, all right? That certainly wasn't necessary. You don't need to do that. But yes, you do if you want to compete, right?
Yeah, and from what I can gather, Penn State's not really doing that kind of absurdity. I think they're just looking for a modern, state-of-the-art, a facility where you can bring a high school player in, you can bring his family in, and they get that big time feeling from being there. And that to me is what all this is. And to me, you can't only extract from the cash cow. You got to feed the cash cow too. If you want to continue reaping all the benefits of having a top 10, top 15 program, you have to keep putting money into it rather than only take money out of it. I think, you know, for Penn State football to have funded the entire athletic department for decades, I think the least you can do is put another, you know, what is it, $48 million into staying current.
And Dustin, that's a great point you bring up, and I'm not sure everyone is aware of that, that it is the football program that finances so much more. All the other sports, I believe even the intramural sports at Penn State are funded by Penn State football. So you put it well. You've got to not just take from that, you've got to feed that football monster to keep it going. And as I'm sure most people listening to this show are Penn State football fans, want to make sure they maintain that capability to compete with all the other big boys in the sport. A couple other things went on last week, Dustin, and happened after you and I got together last. And first of all, it was Tim Banks left for Tennessee, and we talked about him being replaced by Poindexter. I just wanted to ask you, in general, this coaches moving on. Everyone likes to point to Alabama, and they just Nick Saban, he's able to have guys leave, and he replaces them with another big name. Penn State is not Alabama. So when we see guys leaving, is this an issue, or is this just a case where, hey, they're getting promoted somewhere? It's a good thing. It's shown that James Franklin's program is a place to go to and improve your status.
And in most of those cases, that's what's been happening. Ricky Ronnie goes from offensive coordinator to head coach at Old Dominion. Tyler Bowen goes from tight ends coach to tight ends coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Josh Gaddis went to, you know, to be a co-OC at Alabama first. That set him up for his job at Michigan. And I think that's most of the time. Jared Parker going to take the OC job at West Virginia. This is part of the deal. And you hope that your coaches, you know, it's a fine line where you're hoping that your coaches can elevate themselves and do so well that they're desirable without creating that revolving door. And Penn State's in a little bit of a revolving door situation. But at the same time, I think outside of, you know, the whole Corley mess a couple years ago, James Franklin has made some really, really good hires. And I think he's always ready to make that hire. He's diligent. He maintains that list. He's ready to be mobile if or when one of his assistants does get an upgrade. And Tim Banks did. You know, I don't know if he's ready for defensive coordinator duties in the SEC at Tennessee, where there's weird expectations, but he's getting that opportunity and he's getting $1.4 million a year to do it. So I think that's a good thing. And you know, ultimately, I think the revolving door situation is part of the deal for an elite program. And James Franklin has done a good job of filling those spots. So I don't think it's a red flag or anything like that.
And we need to not overreact when one or two recruits decide to move on because an assistant moved on. That's going to happen. But what you're getting, hopefully, with that new guy coming in is some recruits you wouldn't have gotten otherwise. All right, that is it for quarter number one in news and notes. Stick around in quarter number two. We're going to talk tight ends.
It won't be long before we get back outside for those cookouts and tailgates, and the best way to get ready is at thetailgateclub.com. We feature your favorites from 409 Tailgate with their Peachy Paws barbecue sauce and famous Bloody Mary mix. We also have great condiments you won't find at the grocery store, like bacon ketchup and hot banana mustard. How about sauces like raspberry chipotle and roasted red chili and honey? Head over to thetailgateclub.com. That's thetailgateclub.com for all these amazing products and more.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.